Okay, moving onwards and moving around the world. We're off to Alaska now. So it's a great pleasure for me to introduce Mark Stanley to you. I've known Mark for about 5 years now, and you know how you come across people at various stages in your career who actually change your view of what your role is and what's important in that sense. Well, Mark's one of those significant people for me. He's a man of many talents. Yesterday afternoon, he was talking to the 21st Century Learning Alliance, which is a group chaired by Tim Brighouse, about his work as principal of a charter school in Anchorage, in Alaska. It's a highly innovative school, technology-based learning, which is being recognized all over the US at the moment as a very, very successful school. But he's also the originator of the science and digital storytelling camps, which have been running now for a number of years in both the US and the UK. And so the handheld learning in wild places is really the story of the way in which those technologies are being used to take learning outside the school environment and to provide rich and compelling experiences for young people. So, Mark, over to you.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning, or is it good afternoon now? I'm on that cusp. Thanks for coming. I have so much to share with you in so limited time. I'll just try to be as brief as I can. But please let me encourage and invite you to keep in touch with me as you find interest in this. Just to follow up on Steve's comment, we really see ourselves as trying to create more opportunities for kids to go out into wild places to be the storytellers of those places. And so if you have an interest in this idea, please, I've got my email at the end, I'm just telling you, we're kind of interested. We'd like to get to where we're able to do this with kids in different countries. And I think you'll see in a second why it's interesting, not only from a partnership for schools, but the kind of things that we're doing in the U.S. in terms of creating reform-minded schools. So can I tell you about my state? Can I start there? Alaska is associated, or at least in our country, it's associated with being larger than other states. I always like to use this slide just to tell my family and friends back in Texas where they really stand in the larger scale of things. So I just wanted to give you a sense of how large we are. That is all to say this, though. We heard earlier about South Australia and the size of it. I had a chance with my partner over there to look this up. And so that's the relative size of South Australia, not the whole country, but just the earlier part that we're talking about. So you get a size there, but of course I have to at least put in that Alaska is still a little bit larger. So what? Why would that matter? What matters is that I live in a large area that has a lot of money, that cares deeply, as you do, about educating children. How can we connect children to nature? And what difference does that make in their life? So let me just say that once more, because that's really my main point. What can you and I do to make sure that children's experiences with television, cell phones, ICT, does not stop them from a connection with the natural world? Is that fair? So that's what we do. We just try to make that connection. And the way that we do it is we think about, one, not only the lit places and the places that you can see the technology and see, you know, where there is going to be access, but if you'll notice, and this is the most natural map you'll see of the United States, you never see Alaska and Hawaii. So you can see that this down here is Hawaii, the islands. This is where I'm from, this little light here. But you can see that all of my hand is still in dark. So there's a lot of places and opportunity in my world, in my state, probably like yours, to take kids into natural places. I'd like to talk just about that. So since I'm from Alaska and my governor is running around the United States telling them what she believes, can I share with you a little bit about what I believe? I believe that what we're looking at is this idea that we need to teach children to be good storytellers. I will argue, maybe not successfully, but I will argue that a 21st century skill for children is leadership, and a 21st century skill is storytelling. We need children who are good at telling their story, not only their personal story, but the story of their school, the story of their community, the story of their natural places. So everything that I do at my school not everything. One key skill that we try to develop is that simply of storytelling. Students as storytellers. And so nature just gives us a way to do that. The other thing that you get, or I get, as a, you know, listening to the conference, is something attached to this picture. Something with the notion that embedded in everything that we're doing and sort of the reason or the thinking behind the conference and our gathering is that we intuitively know, we know this is true, don't we? If you have a child, you know this is true. You know that somewhere in their future, near or distant, is this, something in their hand. And all of what we're talking about is how do we make that meaningful? How do we make it not a toy? And the presenters earlier, I think, did a great job of really showing that it doesn't have to be a toy, or it can be a toy, but it can be attached to learning. You follow? So this is in a sense what we're all wondering about. This is what I wonder about. I wonder not only about the child with the handheld in their hand. I think that's inevitable, don't you? But what I wonder about is the children's experiences with natural places. This is a couple of kids that I happened to catch that I was in north of San Francisco. There's a national monument called the John Muir Woods. It's where all the redwoods are. Beautiful place if you get a chance. But it's a funny thing because I noticed these kids were looking in a diorama of a picture of the woods, and they were 30 feet away from the redwoods. But if you'll notice in the reflection there, there's a queue of people. There was a line of about 300 people trying to get into the redwoods because it was so popular. My fear is that for our children, these children, they're going to find it harder and harder to get to a natural place. What do you think? Think about all of the light spots on that map and all the dark spots and what's happening in our world. Is that fair? So I have an assignment for you. I want you for a second to imagine that you were me taking this picture, and that what you are doing is, like we have the iPod recording this session now, I'd like for just a second for you to be the iPod on the wall. Pretend that you're just behind those children and you're just listening in. So what I'd like you to ask you to do right now is turn to your neighbor. I'm going to give you 1 minute, and I'd like you to imagine, what's that brother and sister saying to each other? Do you understand? Okay, please take 1 minute. I'm going to play some music, and in 1 minute, I'm going to come back and ask you, what do you think these kids are talking about? Okay. This will be my most difficult task. The time is up. Could I just get some volunteers? What do you imagine these kids are saying to each other?
One kid's saying to the other kid, I'm glad our parents are queuing outside for the performance.
We're
here in the shade, and there's...
Yeah, we're joining.
They're standing in line. Thank you. Others?
So that's what the outside really looks like.
You get that? That's what the outside.
That's not very big. I could climb that.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Others?
What does this do?
Oh, that's good. What does this do? I wonder.
Please, a couple more. Thank you, Deb.
I wish I was small enough to get in there.
That's good. One more, please. Anyone else?
Thank you.
What does it feel like?
What does it
feel like?
What does it feel like? Isn't that cool? So part of what we have to think about when we think about that child with the handheld in their hand is what do they think about when the handheld is not in their hand? Do you follow me? And so what I want to do is set you up for a little bit what we do in national parks. We're kind of interested in listening to children. Because in Alaska, as I'd mentioned, this is my home in Anchorage. In Alaska, we know, like you at your school, we're interested in kids interacting with nature in traditional ways. So at my school, it's called Highland Tech High School. It's grades 7 through 12, roughly ages 12 through 18. I'm an academy, or we call them charter schools. Long story short, I'm in a shopping mall. I took an old grocery store. We redesigned it. And we have about 300 children in a standards-based world. We're not timed. We're based on performance. And so kids do interesting things in my school, as they do in yours. But at our school, what we have learned and what we value is that really the way to get a kid to remember something is to have them become the teacher. So at the bottom, and you really hear this in a lot of the earlier presentations, One of the things that we believe is that at 95% of what a child teaches, they will remember. So at my school, which is based, that makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, that's the dark, dirty secret of teaching, is that teachers are really knowledgeable because they have to get ready to be entertaining. It's just a fact. So what we do is we incent our students to be the teachers by saying that when they mastered a skill, they get proficient. And you cannot stop until you're proficient at something. We don't fail you because we're not time-based, we're performance-based. But once you get proficient, that's it, you're good, let's move on to the next standard. But in our school, the only way that a child can get the equivalent of an A or advanced is for them to teach another student that skill to proficient. Does that make sense? Okay, good. If you believe that then, I don't have 12 teachers at my school. I have 300 wannabe teachers. And do you see the benefit of that? Okay, if you see that, then you'll understand the next step. Remember I talked about valuing storytelling and kids who are storytellers, kids who are teachers. And so in essence, what we do then is we ask the children not just to read, not just to listen, not just to look, but to teach others. Okay? And another way of saying that is that we want kids to be storytellers. So this is not necessarily a good day for me. If I have kids doing this, I start to feel a little bit nervous because I don't see them teaching. I see them passively sitting in front of a bit of technology. It's very controlled. As the principal, I'm happy that way, but I'm really not happy, am I? Because at what point are these kids teaching? And we do, like you do, a lot of video conferencing. So we do things like we'll get on the park ranger from Denali National Park, and she'll tell us about the things that are going on with the wolves. And so we have this didactic ability to, you know, use ICT for that. But I'm still not very happy because it's still not that bottom part of the triangle, the pyramid. Do you follow me? And so what we do then is simply we think about and ask ourselves, how is it that we can get kids to be the storytellers? 10 years ago, I was able to start a contest for our state called the IDITA movie. Do you know the Iditarod sled dog race? So in our world, IDITA, governor, IDITA, you know, it's all IDITA this. Well, we started the IDITA movie 10 years ago. Long story short, we motivated or incented children to make digital film. We call them digital stories about tell me a story, teach me something new, or make me laugh. 2-minute videos. They were competing for 6 plane tickets to Hawaii. Pretty motivational in a dark Alaska in the winter. So we've been doing this for 10 years now. Well, all of these Alaskans started showing up in Hawaii. So Hawaii asked us to start one, so we started another one called Island Movie, and the prize was tickets to Alaska. And now we've done it here in the UK for a little bit. So just know that part of what we've been doing is this digital storytelling around the idea of getting kids to tell their story about what they're learning. Now, I'd like to show you one, if you don't mind. This is called the Bernoulli Principle, and it's 2 minutes, and that's one of the rules of the contest. These movies are 2 minutes. How many of you have seen this before? The Bernoulli Principle? Oh, you're going to enjoy it. So let me show you. It just takes 2 minutes. This is, ladies and gentlemen, the Bernoulli Principle.
There. First cut 2 pieces of thread 4 feet long each.
Next
same reason. So the Bernoulli principle explains why aircraft of any sort can fly. Airplanes.
Helicopters.
Paragliders.
Submarines.
That is not an aircraft.
But the principle still applies.
And that is the Bernoulli principle.
Thank you. And that is children teaching. Okay? Why can't we have them do that same thing about wild places? Why can't we take them out to the local parks and have them do the same thing, where they're the storytellers of wild places? And that is our argument, that really what is handheld learning in the wild in the camps that we've done, all of these bulleted items are the things that we focus on. We received a big grant from the Office of Naval Research to look at what would cause kids to want to become scientists in the future. I know that's on your agenda, or radar as a country as well. So we have been looking, and we're finding out that the UK has some of the strongest evidence, some of the strongest practices that I've read about. That says that what you're doing causes kids to want to become a scientist when they matriculate from school. So what's your secret? And that's actively, honestly, part of why I'd love to learn and continue to learn from you. Part of what I looked at, some of the research of what you're doing, are in these bulleted items. I think we've added the digital storytelling part of it, but pretty much the other parts that you have been doing. What we're really interested in is this inquiry-based learning. And the theory that we have goes something like this, that children get models in their heads about the way natural objects or things work. That by just introducing a new model or a new theory is not enough. What you have to do, and forgive me, I'm not a science teacher, but what you have to do is get the child to explain, to bring out and explain their model, have them test that model, and then have that model then challenged by reality before the child then will be willing to receive, do you follow me, a new model? Now, right or wrong, that's sort of the premise that we work with behind inquiry-based learning. So you see and you know what a digital story looks like. You know what the science tools look like in the classroom. These are the other things that were our goals with handheld learning in the wild. But let me show you, just because it was interesting, what we did with the camps that we did in Denali Park in Hawaii. We actually interviewed the children, and we asked them all the same 20 questions about what about, what about, what about. Let me show you just one of the responses. But what I'd like you really to show here is please don't focus on what the child says. You will. But please notice the eyes and the pauses and the hesitations. As a diagnostic tool, this video is really helpful for us to think about at what point is the child explaining their model of what they know, and at what point does that model start to dry up? And you just see that teachable moment. Is that fair? So the question you won't hear well is, what would you do if you were in nature and you found an object in the woods and you didn't know what the object was?
The first thing I do, I try to find an archaeologist or someone who has experience with weird objects and see what they thought about it. And if I check with a couple of them, if none of them knew what it was, I go straight to a museum. Have them put it in there for safekeeping. That's pretty much it.
And that's pretty much it in terms of what he would know to do with an unusual or mysterious object. And so the argument would be that as we work with children in terms of working in wild places and doing handheld learning, one of the first things we don't want to do, or I'm offering, this has been our experience, you wouldn't want to just teach them the new technology. You wouldn't want to teach them the science. We would like to suggest that first, you might want to let the child just tell about what they know currently. What's their scientific thinking process that they have currently, and to what extent can we use the knowledge about the child as the opportunity to begin to introduce new ideas? Can I tell you about classification systems? Can I tell you about the kinds of objects that you might find? You know, playing the 20 questions. Do you follow me? Do you see how this would be a wonderful place to begin to talk about not only scientific research, but how you go about approaching objects of which the scientific process is fully equipped to show us. So what we found that by starting off this way, we were able to engage the child because they themselves, and you could see it in that little stutter smile at the end, he realized that he had just run out of knowledge, and he was ready and receptive for new ideas. So in all the work we've been doing with these camps, it's terribly important to us that we start with this inquiry-based learning in terms of what the kids know. So what we've done, and now just a little bit of storytelling, we've created science and storytelling camps in Denali National Park, and you can see here with the pictures that we've done of the kind of work that the kids do with handheld learning. We didn't have internet in this park, so we flew around in helicopters and created an internet cloud or a wireless cloud of about 30 miles by 30 miles and drove a bus inside of the park along that road and had the ability to receive the cloud and then rebroadcast it in the vicinity of the bus so the kids then could talk and do real-time data with kids in other parts of the world. That's the bus and that's the kids that we had at the camp. And so the kids would get out there and do scientific research with the National Park Rangers. But in essence, what they were able to do with this connected to the internet, where am I? This antenna here, they were doing video conferencing and data analysis on the spot and then talking with researchers at the park headquarters in Anchorage or if our friends in Hawaii. So kids, real-time, handheld learning in wild places. Well, as Steve mentioned, we've been able to pick up on that idea, and for the last three summers, we've been doing this up at Lake Windermere with the same idea of kids doing research and science in the park. Handheld learning, I could go into a lot of detail and I'm gonna give you a website with all those resources, but you get the idea. So the premise is simply that you teach children how to be digital storytellers, you ask them what they know about nature before they go out there, and then you engage them with the researchers of the national park. So the kids are not just doing, you know, any kind of research. They're actually researching with the researcher of the national park, the rangers, etc. And so you not only get to enjoy the beauty of the place, but this is what the camps look like. Teachers standing in the stream, asking questions to the kids, what do you know? And I think in this one, this was Eavesdale?
Eavesdale,
thank you. What they're doing is actually looking at what turbidity could do in this stream to the little critters in the stream, and what would be the relationship between turbidity and rainfall with what was actually going on with the stream themselves. Do you see this? See, and so it's not just about, though, having a field trip. It's the idea of combining all those so that the child at the end is able to reflect. There's a wireless internet cloud up at Lake Windermere as well. So the child has the ability to reflect on the spot of the nature of learning, of the nature of nature. And then from my perspective, in terms of reformed mind, it gives me the opportunity to take the kids and the teachers out into wild places to learn new ways of learning. Specifically, what we have learned is this is a sneaky little tool for teaching ICT to teachers. Because if I bring you into my lab and I say, okay, open up PowerPoint, spreadsheets, we're gonna, you know, what's that mode? But if I take four children and I hook them up with two teachers and I say, you're gonna be hooked up with this researcher and you guys are gonna stand in a stream and look at what's going on here, the teachers then are in a learning relationship with the kids. And who's in charge? Well, it's just a team. Who's teaching whom? Well, it goes back and forth, doesn't it? And traditionally, what we see is the kids tend to take over the technology and start to run the technology and the probes and the handheld learning. The teachers are just standing back just a little bit, but the teachers are very good at managing and organizing and asking questions, and when they're comfortable, they get involved and do the ICT as well. So we didn't know this, we just learned that this format is a wonderful professional development. We also found out that it's a wonderful way to try new pedagogy. Again, if I'm in the building, and this is the old traditional school and all of the values associated with that, well, by going out into natural settings, well, there is no pedagogy out here. It's just what we do. So it gives you the opportunity to create and try out new pedagogy. Does that make sense? So a person like me who's interested in reforming schools, I don't have to fight those old battles. I can go outside and I get the opportunity to start with fresh air, pun intended. It's wonderful to learn about wild places, the whole point about nature in our world. Nature is a system. If we hear about speakers talking about we need to teach children to be system thinkers, you know, refer to the keynote speakers yesterday about system thinking within a game. Well, yes, and guess what? Nature is a system. Any and everything that those children learn about the natural world is systems thinking, our ability to get them to reflect on that. And then the other point here is that you don't have to have Alaska or Denali in your backyard. What about your local park? What about your backyard? So please don't think you have to run up to Lake Windermere or Alaska or Hawaii. The other argument Steve and I have been talking a lot about is what about the urban parks? What about the parks in your backyard? And that's why I love what Deb is doing in Australia with the ability to do this. So I'm concluding now. The website in which we've put all this curriculum and our research is at futurescientists.org. I just wanted to show you the picture of it. And all the curriculum that we've developed about digital storytelling is at teachingstory.com. So in the end, if you there's my email, and the teaching story for all the things that we put together is a bunch of curriculum that National Geographic, National Park Service funded us for is there. And then the curriculum that we developed around our parks is there. So what you can do is download on PDF the curriculum that we developed in terms of putting together all those pieces for you. So with that, let me just summarize for the sake of time. It really matters. I still think about that kid with the handheld in their hand. It really matters that we are very thoughtful about how we help children learn how to use the ICT as a learning tool. But in addition to that, it really matters that we teach children how to be comfortable in natural places. There's a book in our country called Nature Deficit Disorder that really speaks to all of the dark places, you know, than the planet that are just, there's no technology. What can you and I do together? And if any of this is interest to you, please get a hold of me. I'd love to be able to work with you on this idea of promoting the kids using technology, kids getting out in nature, and then just being having nature a part of their lives.
Thank you very much, Mark. Any questions?
Are all these IDITA movies on the same site you just put up there, or are they on some other site?
It's a good question. Quick answer is no. Part of what we're real sensitive about is the copyright and the permissions, etc. So to be really honest, we've just been safe. If I can help in any way, I have permission with the kids to share these on a one-to-one basis. But no, we haven't put them up on YouTube or anything like that. But let me know. I'd be glad to share.
There's one very, very good short video on TED.com from a UK expert called Jonathan Drury, who you may know, who others in the room will know. And it's a lovely example of how people don't know simple things and how the systems they've got in their mind don't work. So you give a student a battery, a piece of wire and a bulb and ask them how it would work.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them, even their degree students, can't get it right. So it's
yeah, there's a couple of videos like that about they went and asked Harvard graduates how the season, what causes the seasons, and they couldn't get it right either. But I think the takeaway is just that idea that instead of just the technology and putting new ideas in, first in this inquiry-based format, you first say, well, please explain to me how batteries and light bulbs work. And listen, and record it, just the way we were hearing about earlier, you know, with the flicker and these cameras. Explain how carpentry works. How do houses stay together? Wait for the answer, and then say, and then go from there.
Yes, thank you for the presentation. I think your approach is also can be transferred to different fields besides the wild, the natural. For example, for historical places, in Italy, for example, we have a very nice, a beautiful historical center in which children can teach other citizens and teachers their own history, can learn more and become very aware of their own history using handheld technology as well.
It's a great point. Part of what we imagine is that our secondary students, as they get better with these skills, will come to our primary schools I love the idea of the historic centers, et cetera, or urban parks, but get the older children to become the teachers of how the primary students, and let the primary students be the learners. And so that, in our world, that would be awesome with the historic places as well. We just don't have much history in Alaska. That's our problem. not yet. We're making it right now.
Okay. Well, thank you again, Mark, for a little presentation.